You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Was hosting, it was called Nick Cannon's Fresh Faces of Comedy.
How did you get on that event?
And that's what made me realize, okay, this shit over here is my responsibility. Right. That out there is going to go whether or not I'm here or not. And get all this shit together on my own, and somebody might. That's how Nick met me. I was outside talking to myself, getting my set together, because the dude at the comedy club told me I couldn't talk about none of the shit that I planned on talk about the first time I was going up there to do the show in New York. I always find it funny that niggas can be a real nigga everywhere except for in their house. Get into a position where everybody wanted something from me. To realize that the only shit that really mattered was what I can get of myself. Know that they were just asking me how I was feeling and ask me for something right after made me do something that I had never done in my life prior to that point, and that's duck the responsibility necessary to having the conversations with these people. I ain't never ducked nothing in my life.
Right. Now niggas want to loon me to death. Salute, loon.
Yeah, exactly.
My man, loon.
That's my man, too.
Both loons. Old loon, new loon.
Okay.
All ops must know it's up there and it's stuck there, nigga.
When it's up there, man, it's stuck there.
Shut up.
Well, yeah, I have been booed, but it was on purpose. Like, I knew the booze was coming. Like, I went to Dallas, and I'm in, and this is when I first performed in front of Martin, my first time meeting Martin, right? I'm on a show, it's a group show now. With the big tours, when you see all of these different guys, when you have a D-Ray and a Martin and a, you know, a Ricky Smiley and a Corey Holcomb and all them dudes on one show, that's the potluck. That's when you bring your dish to the big show, you know what I mean? The comedy club is where you hone your skill.
Yeah.
I had, what, 20? I had 20 minutes.
That's 20 good,
minutes.
Though.
But at this point, this
that's
was just a
main
couple.
Set. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. But for me, I was just in awe of the fact that I'm getting ready to perform in front of a nigga that I idolized as a young nigga. So I'm like, what can I do to separate myself in this moment in front of this person that has seen every kind of comedy that exists at the highest level? Like, it's very rare that I want to impress other men in any capacity. But in that capacity, I was like, I want to impress this man because he's impressed me for so many years, not even knowing who I am. And then he just greeted me and said he was glad to meet me and gave me love. I want him to see that I'm one of them ones. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I want him to see that in this moment.
Yeah.
So I came out and, you know, I'm in Dallas and, you know, I always rap, you know what I mean? That's just always something I do. And it's a song called Southside is the Realest. That's a big song in Dallas. So I came out and I got the, I'm like, every time I hear this song, it made me feel like I'm from Dallas. You know what I mean? I'm the cheat goat, it's the realest. Know you gon' feel us. You know, what did I say? Know you gon' feel us. Know that I'm the illest. That I get to rapping and I'm like, you know what I mean? Pockets on swole. Flow is so cold. And mind you, at this point, they all the way into the rhyme. Hey, I'm like, yeah, the Cowboys ain't never gonna win the Super Bowl. Boo! Boo, nigga, yeah, fuck. I'm like, ah, that's what you get, nigga. Washington football team. Yeah. Fuck y'all. Yeah. You should have waited. That's what's wrong with niggas. Yeah. We niggas rap to you now. We you think you know a nigga. Right. Nope. Just that, and then being able to turn them around that quick, that was what I had to do. And for me,
right, to stand out,
to stand out in that moment. Like, I'm gonna come out and say, I'm talking about everybody, hey, the Cowboys ain't never, boo. Yeah. I'm like, ah, yeah, nigga, fuck y'all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that right there was a level of audacity that most people don't have the fearlessness to be able to do on stage, especially in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, cause I'm nervous as nervous can. I get nervous before every show. I've always told myself, if it's a show and I ain't getting nervous, that mean I done accomplished everything I'm supposed to accomplish. Right. So I still get nervous before I touch every stage.
Yeah.
But once I get out there and hear my voice, you know, it's clockwork. I'm doing my thing.
So that's how you get through it. But you get nervous. You just recognize, all right, this is part of the pattern.
Yeah, yeah, that's just what it is.
This is part of what happens.
Yeah, I just, because I want to, you know, like I said, my work is my work. Yeah. I want my work to be something that people are proud to, you know what I mean, say that they saw. So I'm always like, let me make sure I give my best. But in that moment, I'm like, nah, I want to show this nigga how raw I am. Like, you know, because I don't necessarily have the same capacity that most people do. It's like, if you know you can do something, or if you know you that man, you ain't got to show up and announce it. You know, the loud nigga in the room is usually the motherfucker trying to prove something.
Right.
And then probably to himself, mostly.
Right.
For me, I don't do none of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But when I want to and when I feel it, I'm like, man, I'm about to show this person how much of a dog I am at this shit. Because I want you to leave here more than even the people. I want the people to leave here with that perspective, but I want you to leave here knowing that your influence gave me this ability to be able to take the parts of the game that you laid down and do this with it.
Right.
I want to give you that because you mean so much to me and in my career, in my life, in my moment. I ain't had no daddy, so nigga, you kind of helped raise me being able to sit in front of that TV while my mama wouldn't handle business and watch you and laugh. So the fact that you are in front of me right now and I'm a peer of yours in theory, I want you to be able to see, man, hey, Slim, the work that you put in has impacted the next generation to this capacity.
Right.
And I'm one of your understudies, whether you know it or not. And look what I'm able to do from your, you know, tutelage, if you will.
And that's some dope shit. How did you get into comedy?
I went to college and went.
What year you get
08. I started doing it in 08. Yeah, I graduated from college and I, you know, went to Winston-Salem State.
You did them bullshit rooms though, like.
Oh, nigga, what? That's how you start. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I was the first. I was the last class of comedian that came in was before social media. You know, 08, social media wasn't. It was just Facebook for real. It wasn't no, you know, social media that you can capitalize off with comedy. So I still was having to go do the open mics. Right. And, you know, I started at the Greensboro Comedy Zone in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I did that purposefully because it's like, I got to make a name here.
Yeah.
Because whenever I go to these places, do they tell me you got to go to make it? Then I need to have somebody that I can come back to and that's going to support me whether or not they believe I'm the shit or not. So I got to build this following, and I'm going to do it right here where it's not a hotbed of comedy, where ain't nobody necessarily coming to look for nobody that's comedic talent. If I can come up out of here with a name, then it's going to make them respect me when I go to these places. And even if they don't, when I touch that stage, the work that I've been doing in these places to make these people fuck with me, when you do this shit every night, you're going to see the difference.
Right. It shine bright.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? So when I graduated,
go ahead.
When I graduated, I went to get a job where I did my internship at, and they told me I was going to be making $6.25 an hour. And I was like, I'm not, because like the hustler in me just wouldn't allow me to go the route that they say you supposed to go. Like I'm saying, like we've been talking about right. that social customary thing that we believe in, subscribing to the group yeah. think. I done went and did this, and you telling me I'm about to be making less than I was making when I got my first job bagging up groceries at 13? Nah, I'm not okay with that. Yeah. So I went home, went through the whole process of figuring out what I was going to do. My man Jerome had told me, man, you need to try comedy, because I was hosting all this shit on campus and college and doing all the step shows and all that. But I'm like, man, I ain't never want to be no comedian, nigga. Like, I ain't really... I like comedy. I study comedy because I enjoy, you know, the craft of it. But I ain't never wanted to be no comedian. He was like, bro, I'm telling you, bro, you need to get this shit a try, bro. You funny as fuck, bro. I'm like, I'm funny to you because you my man, nigga. I ain't walking around goofy, nigga. I don't, like, my perception was different yeah. of what it took to be right. in this space. So right. he was like, man, they got an open mic at the Comedy Zone. Let's just go look and watch it. So it was first and second Thursday of every month. That first Thursday, I went and watched everybody bomb, nigga. I was just like, well, I at least can do this
yeah,
fucked up.
Facts.
So
yeah.
that next week, I was getting my whole 4 minutes together, because that's the only time, all the time you got was 4 minutes. I went the next Thursday, went and did my 4 minutes, and when I got off stage, I swear to God, it was like, I felt it. I said, this what I'm supposed to be doing. This it.
Damn.
That's how it came to
so
me. I've been doing it ever since that day.
Quick. Do you write jokes? How long it take you to write? I don't write jokes.
I write the idea down yeah. in my.
That's how I
my,
like to do.
Yeah, my mind is different, man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I can't even
like,
recite none. I'm like,
no,
bro,
I don't want to lose an idea, but I talk to myself. Like, I get it together in my own mind. It's just the yeah. way my mind works. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've embraced the parts that the shit that for me doing the type of work that I do, and prior to being a comedian. It's made me embrace the things that people are going to say about you that call that just.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
By you being crazy, quote unquote. Like the fact that I talk to myself and walk around in the circle and get all this shit together on my own, and somebody might, that's how Nick met me. I was outside talking to myself, getting my set together, because the dude at the comedy club told me I couldn't talk about none of this shit that I planned on talk about the first time I was going up there to do the show in New York at Gotham Comedy Club. This was my first time ever performing in a major comedy club. And you know, New York is the mecca of stand-up comedy. So I got in there, dude was like, I don't know who you are. You can't say this. You can't say, you can't curse. You can't say the N-word. We want to, you know, this is a this type of show. So at that point, that's what I thought I was going to go up there and do my Def Jam shit. So he was like, no, you can't do that. I'm outside reworking my whole set. I got 10 minutes. I'm out there walking around in a circle, talking to myself, getting this shit together. Like, yes, I'm going to do this. Nick comes in, sees me outside talking to myself. He don't know me from a can of paint at this point. But he see me talking to myself because I'm really into it. I don't care that nobody's looking at me. I'm in my own bubble, like, getting my shit together. Fast forward.
We going to come holler at that, though. We see somebody on their vibe like that, we're going to say he's serious about that.
See, he didn't know what I was doing. You
didn't
did.
Even
we
know what you
we
were
in
doing.
New York. Okay. I'm just a crazy nigga talking to myself. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm just another nigga outside running around in a circle talking to himself. Fast forward, I do my show. Rock that bitch. Kill it. And I'm talking about what just happened. I'm talking about the fact that this nigga just seen me outside talking to myself, getting this shit together because this white man just told me what the fuck I couldn't do. And I ain't had no choice because I'm broke and I need the opportunity. That was my whole set, talking about what happened to me that day. When I get off stage, Nick stopped me. I mean, stopped me in my tracks. He's supposed to be going up to introduce the next comedian. He grabbed me. Hey, was you just outside making that shit up that you just did? I'm like, yeah, I was. He said, man, I'm around some of the best in the game. They can't do what you just did. Keep working. That was his.
And that's how y'all met.
That's how we met. That was our first interaction.
So you saw him again at Wildin' Out through Dolly with that.
But that was almost 2 years after that.
Right.
Experience.
But I just wanted to connect that. But that's crazy. Yeah. So what was he in the building for? He was hosting the
event? Was hosting. It was called Nick Cannon's Fresh Faces of Comedy.
How did you get on that event?
Dolly.
Damn.
Dolly making that phone call saying, I got some guys in North Carolina that's funny. You should give them an opportunity to come up here and do the show. And he was like, all right, bet, book him. Because he was looking for new talent, but not for Wildin' Out. He was just looking for new talent because that's just something Nick does from time to time. He just try to find new talent. And it was the Fresh Faces of Comedy. My man B-Dot, who we used to do the FFCS with, my freestyle funny comedy show that I started doing in North Carolina, he went up the first week and did it. And then I came up that second week and did it. And that's what happened. When I came and walked in the club, he was like, all right, Chico Bean. Okay, who are you? I'm like, I'm on the list. I'm performing. He was like, what are you doing there? Because they got more than one room. He's like, oh, you're in the main room? Oh, you're on that Nick Cannon show. All right, so, you know, what type of material do you do? I'm like, comedy. Nigga, what the fuck you mean? What type of material do I do? I ain't never had to answer question like that. Yeah, so he like, man, what type of material? Are you dirty? Are you clean? Dirty, or what are you?
Yeah.
Like, mind you, I'm fresh into doing comedy. I'm out a year and a half in. I'm like, nigga, I do comedy. Like, what do you mean? Do I curse? Yeah. Well, do you talk about sex? Yeah. Do you say the N-word? Yeah. Well, you can't do any of that in here. You
got to be clean.
You got to do this. You can't do any of that. So,
and that's why you was outside.
And that's why I was outside, because everything that I planned on talking about, this man just told me that I'm not going to be able to say in this club.
Damn.
And I could have been a rebel and went up there and just did this shit anyway and fucked my opportunity up to ever be able to come back into that space again. And I don't know who this person is. And I know that this is the biggest opportunity that I have gotten up until that point. And I'm up there on the strength of somebody who I love to death's word and recommendation. So I don't want to fuck up what she gonna have to deal with tomorrow when I take my ass back down here to the Comedy Zone in North Carolina.
Right.
So I'm gonna make sure that I go out here and do that. Most motherfuckers in that position would have just said fuck it and left, because they can't do what I was able to do.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, the way my mind worked, I've always just been a special big-headed motherfucker that can go out and do different things at a level that most people can't do and they can't understand, and I always embrace that. So I went out and talked to myself, and I'm talking about, I'm out there full-fledged, like, and this nigga walk in, and I'm all the way, I'm not even seeing, I'm aware of my surroundings, but I'm locked into what I'm doing. And when I got on stage, the first thing I did was talk about what just happened. And when I did my Wildin' Out audition, 2 years later, when I first walked into the audition room, now mind you, my man Dot tells this story so crazy because we went together. He went in and, you know, he does his whole little spiel and they ain't really fucking with it. When he leaves out, and this is from him telling me his perspective of it, when I walk into the room, he said within the first couple of 15 seconds of you being in the room, all I heard was that bitch erupt with laughter, nigga. And he said, that's when I knew I didn't make it. He said, after you, I heard that laughter that came out the room when you walked in, I knew it was over with. But for me, when I walked in, I'm not talking about the preparation that I had driving up here for this. I'm talking about what's in front of me.
Right.
Because I want you to see that this is naturally who I am. I don't have to practice being me. Like, me being me is what I want people to subscribe to.
Right.
And that's what I want y'all to see.
Yeah.
Because no matter what position you put me in, this is who I'm going to be in that position. So I want you to know what you're getting. So when I walked in the audition room, a dude named Dorian, salute to the OG Dorian, man, he was sitting in the room, and he big old dude, you know what I mean? Big nigga. And he was just mugging. I'm just like, man, what's up, Nick? He was like, man, I remember you, man. You my man from, you know what I mean, Dolly homeboy, man. My man from the joint. I was like, yeah, I appreciate you, Nick. But who your man right here, man? What's wrong with him?
Yeah,
what's up with Slim?
Yeah,
you all right, big man?
Yeah,
you good?
Yeah,
I need to be worried,
checking
nigga.
His temperature.
I need to be worried, big ass nigga. Why you just standing there looking at me? He acting like he ain't want to laugh. And then I was like, bro, at least tell me your name. He was like, Dorian. I was like, oh, I see why you don't want to laugh. Nigga, your teeth big as a motherfucker. Yeah, you fuck around and cut your tongue off trying to laugh. And then it's like,
broke
boom.
Guys.
You know what I'm saying? And that was just my interaction, because it's like, man, this is what you get with me. And I'm comfortable in my skin. I've always had to be. I've never been given a gray area growing up. Like, my mother was different. She was like, nigga, this is the reality of what it is. This is who you are. Learn how to love that.
Right.
And I had to figure that out growing up as a young man, because I always had man responsibilities. Like, when my friends was playing football and riding their bikes, nigga, I was walking to the Safeway with a cart to get the groceries for the house, because my mama was burnt out. She had to catch 3 buses to get back home from work. She ain't got the energy to walk down here to this Safeway. So here go the money. Here go the cart. Go down there and get everything on this list. You're going to miss that football game. It'll be another one, nigga.
Right.
You're going to miss that bike ride. It'll be another one. And I had to figure out how to be comfortable watching all of this fun go on while I had to go handle responsibility that was not necessarily for a child to have to bear, but it was my reality.
Right.
And in those walks and them times where I had to be by myself, I had to learn how to be comfortable and confident within my own space.
And it translates.
And as fucked up as that may have been for me as a child, as a grown man, I'm thankful. I thank God every day for those experiences because now I'm able to be comfortable in shit that I see other grown men fail at.
And that's one of them gifts for the future.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That you don't know what you're getting all the way.
You don't even know when you're going through. You're like, man, it's cramping my shit.
Did you have your pops in your life?
Nah.
Did you have any type of relationship with them?
I mean, they came back around when, you know what I'm saying? Like, I used to do certain things, you know, with artists, right? I used to rap. And I had Tip and Dro and Waka Flocka in the town one time, and my father showed up. I hadn't seen him in a year. Like, I don't have a relationship. I got game from my uncle and from the streets.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I'm saying? So I ain't had no relationship with him.
That's who raised me.
Yeah.
Was my uncles in the streets. And you know, I just did Steve Harvey's Boys Camp. And one of the things that I gave to the young boys is none of them had fathers. And like I told them, as unfortunate as it is to not have a relationship with your father, you also aren't tied down to the obligations or responsibilities that your father would have gave you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
so you're able to soak up game.
Directly.
Right.
Yeah.
And directly passed down to you, or, you know, diverted you from something that you was passionate about, but he not. So now you got to go by. So right. You got to feel free to be able to understand it. It's unfortunate, but you got to find the silver lining in the fact that you can take game from everywhere. You can get it from all over. And you know, got to soak as much of it up as you can. But I ask you that because, you know, in talking to you, you can see that you have an ability to be able to translate a message in a way that most niggas who didn't have a relationship with their father can't do. And I'm always interested to ask guys who didn't.
Yeah.
At what point did you realize you was different than everybody else?
I think I knew that from...
Or was it a moment that you feel like it really resonated and set in with you that you knew you wasn't like everybody else?
It's when life threw at me the same things they threw at people and I conquered them. But also when I knew that life was giving me everything it had from a negative standpoint, and I survived that. So I said, nah, if I outwitted that, like outwitting the devil, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like, and then all my people, man, my people don't tell me that I'm great, but I don't care about words anyway, I watch actions.
Mm-hmm.
So the actions tell me I'm great. Everybody brings everything to me. When I didn't get broke down by what should have broke me down, you know, and.
Can you give me an example of one of those times?
One time I was in a very serious relationship. And that relationship turned my hustle on. And I always tell people that sometimes love can turn on and activate a different kind of hustle. When you ain't got children and shit and you find something, you fall in love, like, I gotta take care of this. I didn't know women were trickery. I didn't know they had trickery involved in them. I was young, so I didn't really know that. Like, when a woman would call me king, I would really try to live up to that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that that's trickery. Not all the time, and not from a pure woman, but where I was coming from, because I had some money, I'm king to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? The dog is your cousin when you get a little money.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know I was operating in a space where people didn't mean what they were saying. So when I finally left out of that, I think I hit rock bottom mentally, as far as like, you way too smart to have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I started to reveal things to myself and get away from it emotionally and look at it logically, it started to just say, all right, nigga, you gave a lot to something you ain't get much from. How smart really are you?
Right.
Do you really, who really are you when you can be tricked by words in that way? And I dived into books.
But it was some pussy involved too. Don't just say it was the words. You got to get it.
Yeah,
that was a big part of it too. The words just made the pussy just You got to give yourself some grace on that one.
And the three
everything
and
all that shit. Right.
It was a vibration, but I think I still gave it too much. I still gave it too much mentally. You have a good time with it and things.
Yeah.
But if I'm not careful with this thing.
Oh, trust me. Who you telling?
Yeah.
I got the same problem. Yeah. That's why I say this, you know, it's so important to subscribe to whatever it is that, you know, because the most consistent thing that's going to happen to us in this life is your mind going to talk inside your mind. As we having this conversation right now, our brain talking inside our brain. So that's what you got to navigate, because when everything gone and everybody gone and it's just you and your thoughts, that's who you are.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I got to, I got to.
That's why I stay with something, bro.
Yeah, I got to. I got to. Because
it keep me, I be in the trick bag. Because I know me, I still a go. He said, what? They going to do, I pop tall.
Man, and that's the worst thing.
And that's unfortunate for me.
Fucked up, man.
That I'm still available in that way.
And that's the hardest thing to be able to shake, man. I'm telling you, I'm with you. I totally understand it because I feel the same way about, in the perspective that you just gave in regards to navigating the things that should have broke you down. And I've had so many different moments throughout my life that, you know, should have, I mean, that I had every excuse.
That's
like I
said,
like not having no daddy, my daddy getting killed. I got every excuse to be as fucked up as I can be.
Right.
But when my uncle got killed, I remember how I felt when I saw the world still moving. Everything was still going. And that's what made me realize, okay, this shit over here is my responsibility.
Right.
That out there is going to go whether or not I'm here or not. And once I realized that, it made me realize that the importance of managing your bubble is it's the most.
It's imperative.
It's imperative, man, for you to be able to navigate that, because I know from what I come from and what the way I was trained, like, everybody in my household was with the bullshit and was on it. And that was normal. And the environment that I come from, the city that I come from, all of that shit was normalized to us. So for me to get to a point where I navigate beyond that and to be able to be pulled back into it based off of me not being able to manage my emotions is something that I constantly challenge myself on. Like when I was dealing with my mother being sick, I'm at the gas station. And mind you, I'm going through all these emotions because I feel it. I know my baby about to leave here.
Yeah.
And I'm in the gas station and the nigga is just looking at me. And he keep looking at me. And I'm like, man, Slim, what's... Man? He like, oh, my bad, dog. I thought you was Chico Bean. And in that moment, I'm like, nigga, you tripping.
Yeah.
Like, you are Chico. Like, you tripping, nigga. Like, I know it's fucked up right now. I know you grade, you know, could potentially be grade, lose the most important thing in regards to you being who you are, but my nigga, you are who you are. And it took me to walk around the block and do that same process. That's the blessing of me having that process. It saved my life because I knew what to do in that moment. I knew how to take myself out of it. So you got to develop something to be able to snatch yourself out of that shit whenever it happened. You know what I mean?
Because, and then, you know, I think because because you see me by myself, man, it's a strength, but it's a weakness. And the weakness side of it, because the weakness side of it is I think I'm not available. So I'm not emotionally available. You know, I'm not available for much. Like, and I don't mean time consuming shit. I mean, like, emotionally. Like I said, I'm not celebrating wins. I'm not, relationships not really meaning much to me. Like, me and a girl together is like, it is what it is.
That's fine, though. I mean, in my opinion, because I'm the same way. Like,
I'm trying to work through these things. I'm trying to see, am I disconnected? Like, what's, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, it's not that. Coming from somebody who moves the same way, I'm always by myself.
Facts.
Not because I can't be around a whole bunch of people, but I'm my own best friend.
Right.
And I'm comfortable in that. I embrace that. And I think it's just a perception thing. Like, you want to be everything that you can be for the people that count to you, but you got to be that for yourself first. As cliche as that sounds, it took me to get into a position where everybody wanted something from me, to realize that the only shit that really mattered was what I can get of myself. And being alone and not having the same capacity that you see people judge you on, you know what I mean? Like, I've been one of the people that's been running around saying I don't want to ever get married or be in a relationship publicly for years. And one of the first things when I have a conversation with a woman about that is the first thing they do is relegate me to loneliness. That's the biggest.
Right.
They wrong about that.
But still, that's the first thing they go to, because that's the people project what they fear the most on you when they hear you not conform to what they believe is something that works. But my perspective on what's lonely is different from yours because being by myself, I revel in that.
Nah, and that's why I learn everything. That's got me. I'm loving that, right? Being by myself, I love that. What I'm saying is, though, is that for me in particular, I believe I've developed a skin or a shield or something that is not allowing anything to penetrate, right? Because I'm blocking out bad and negative, because I'm saying stay on your path, some kind of way, it seemed like I done shut the door on anything coming in.
Nah, I disagree, because you look at where you're at, you know what I mean? You got, you know, just using Charlemagne, somebody that we share in regards to, like, he's been instrumental.
Yeah, he's a big brother.
And so much in my career, you know what I'm saying? Just saying, hey, man, here.
Right.
Go do your thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or because every opportunity don't come with some money attached to it. It's like just the looks.
Yeah.
You think about how long I've been doing what I've been doing. I got on TV in 2013. What was you doing in 2013?
I was
exactly.
In the street. Yeah.
That you ain't even got to say it.
Yeah.
So you think to now, we share a commonality of a person that I done been dealing with since over a decade now.
Right.
And this is somebody that you can genuinely say is a big brother, because he's in a position to offer you the same type of help that he's offered me. So you're not blocking out everything.
And I'm not talking about professionally. That's what I'm saying. I'm so locked in professionally that personally is suffering.
I mean, have you identified the things that you desire personally to be able to know?
But I've lost everything I had personally elevating professionally. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So because everything I had personally came from most things. I won't say everything. Most things I had personally prior to leaving that whole stage was of that life. It was of that elk. And when I'm over here, when I mix those two, I put myself in a trick bag.
Yeah.
So I literally had to cut that off.
Yeah.
Now, that was the right move. What I'm saying, the unintentional consequences, I think, and I could be wrong, but we're talking through this, right? The unintentional consequences I think I'm faced with is that because I had to cut all of that off and shield myself, because I love them people on the other side of this thing. Like, bro, I just talk, my right-hand man I talk to every single day is facing a life sentence. You know what I'm saying? This is my guy. This ain't somebody I know in passing. I don't even never drop his name. I ain't never done an interview. This ain't about no clout shit. This is my guy. So I'm saying, it's love on over there. And it seemed like that's where all my love at. But I can't go get it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm over here where I get professionally, I'm piping hot.
Right.
I'm doing shit. I can call anybody in the game I can get in contact with just off my wit and off my ability to talk, dog. I'm blessed beyond measure.
For sure.
But my love, the people that I know loved me before this, because again, all this, I'm thinking it's motives attached to shit. Now everything seems weird, and I'm sure you know what it's like on this side where it's like, who's here for what?
Yeah, I mean, but that's what I'm saying about what I was, the analogy that I was using about seeing that table and being able to, you know, go like this. That's one aspect of it. But it's another thing to be able to see that table and go over there and stand at it and watch the game be played and get your perspective and all that, but not put none of your money into it. You know what I'm saying?
And I think I'll get there.
And that's the part that it sounds like. Yeah, it sounds like you still haven't separated your love that you get and the love that you were given in that regard when you over on that other side. Like, it's one thing for the love that you receive, but when people see you, it takes you back into the mode of being who you were over there to them. And it's hard for you not to turn back into that person.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that you got to be able to navigate, getting over there and being able to still be able to receive the love and give it, but just give it in a different way than they used to you. And it takes training. I give you an example. I had a show at the MGM in D.C. I knew that I had to. I did the first one right after my mama passed, so I was still in the twilight zone. And I had, like, man, like 80 comp tickets. I just was putting niggas on the list. They accommodated me.
Wow.
But when they came back the next time, which I'm blessed that there even was the next time, because I sold enough tickets to where the 80 comps wasn't a problem. But when I came back the next time, they was like, look, you know, we were understanding of what happened, you know, prior, but we can't do.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That many comp tickets this time because we opening up the second level. We want to really, you know, sell this thing out. So, you know, of course, we can accommodate your people, but only a certain number of people, right? Now, mind you, my mother played a big role in being a filter through certain people to me. Like, they didn't certain shit didn't come to me because they didn't want to have to deal with Wanda.
Right.
But once she was gone, all of that shit came to me. Now, mind you, it fucked me up emotionally, as you said, because I'm real in touch with my emotions. I understand it. It's very rare I get into them, but if you somebody that I give them to, we in
you
there.
You got me.
You got me.
Yeah.
So to know that people that I felt like should have been able to feel what I was feeling, to know that they were just asking me how I was feeling to ask me for something right after, made me do something that I had never done in my life prior to that point, and that's duck the responsibility necessary to having the conversations with these people. I ain't never ducked nothing in my life.
Right.
But this is the first time I ever put shit off. Niggas is texting me, calling me, hey, man, you know what I mean? And I'm just, I ain't worried about that shit. Then it crept up on me. My manager hit me, boss lady hit me like, yeah, we got to get this promo, how we going to run this, you know, this the shit for the show and all of that. And I'm like, I can't do it. She like, what you mean? I can't do it. I realize I'm not ready to go up there and face these motherfuckers who I done let do this shit that I know I got a problem with, but I didn't have the ability to be able to address in a manner that was necessary up until now. I know I can't go up there and face them people because I know my mind. I know I get in there and a nigga in there eating lamb chops and drinking champagne. Man, I wouldn't have missed this for the world. I can't say that I'm not going. You would have missed it if I ain't give you a ticket, bitch ass nigga. And not in these people, not there,
right.
Not at this level, not at the MGM, right. Not, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it made me realize I had ducked something. So that was the first time I'd been ashamed of myself in my life. I was ashamed of myself. Like, I can't believe I let this shit happen and had to cancel the show. I ain't never did that.
Yeah.
But after that cancelization, I said, man, I'm going to do what I need to do. Fuck it. I got to develop the mentality of what's necessary to be able to go over here and face these people.
Because
I got to. These my people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I got to do it in a way where they respect the fact that I'm over here now. And I can't do it this way. So my thing was, look, everybody that was asking me for some shit, wherever I'm at in the world, you can come see me. I got you. Except for in this city.
Right.
In Washington, D.C., if I'm here, you got to buy a ticket to see me, man. Because you ain't got to really do nothing to support me. If you drive to Baltimore, I got you.
Because
at least it took you the gas money to get up here. But if you in this city and I'm performing in this city, man, buy a ticket to see me. You should want to if you my folks. And there was some hard conversations to have, but I had to do it.
Yeah.
And it took me to have that experience of canceling a show, some shit I never did before, to give me the strength to be able to go over there and have them conversations.
Yeah.
I can't let that shit happen no more.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I was able to do it, and then I ended up selling out the show. The shit was amazing. But I just know that had I not had that type of interactions with the people that I had to have them with prior, then I would have never known what it took to be able to get it after the fact.
This is where you got me at. Hey, Kingdom and Sprite too, bro. This is where you got me at. That's you personal meeting professional.
Yeah.
See, what I've done was literally sever the personal to elevate the professional.
But there's no way you could have completely severed it if you still over there. You see
I'm
what I'm
not
saying?
Over there,
I mean, but you over there enough to know that the love that you was, that's still being over there.
Yeah.
So the severing that you did was your connection to what you was giving them folks while you was over there. That's what you stopped. You stopped being the guy that show up with the answers and all of the solutions and all of the man, I'm fucked up, loon, or man, this happened and that happened.
Yes.
I can't be that no more. But you haven't severed the connection to these people fully enough for you to be able to say that you done separated the professional. These people are still a part of who you are. You just have to figure out a way for yourself to be able to go over there
and then it ain't
without being attached to what you used to be.
Yeah, see, a lot of it ain't even for them. A lot of it's for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like,
it's all for you.
Because I go over there and turn back up. Because I see them. I see it. Bro, like, bro, this town is it's popping, man.
Yeah.
Like popping. My homeboy, another one of my guys, he took $1 million loss. They went in, 500 racks, 40 bricks. Like, it's if you involved on that level around here, like in here, it'd be 150,000 in here. just floating around, niggas gambling, and you know what I'm saying? It's going down in this town. So I try to stay away from that because it'll be my luck in here fucking with the homeboys.
Yeah.
And then something, you know
what
I mean?
You gotta be at, but that's the price of doing the unseen.
So I sacrifice even getting that love I know is real.
Right.
Because it's too dangerous for the overall circumstance I find myself in. So it got me by default forced to deal with fake love.
I mean, you know, I disagree in regards to what you can do. Like what you just said, what you already doing. You a nigga that then did it yourself and created your own island. You smart enough to be able to develop and curate a space where you can get some of that without having to deal with what come with that.
Remember Tip said, I still ain't forgave myself.
Yeah.
So that for what I explained to you about whatever time about, yo, you put a lot into that and didn't get none, I still remember that.
Yeah.
What am I getting for that trust that I'm giving? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it.
And
I'm
saying, bro, when it get now it ain't even about me feeling that. Because I got these two little boys I got to worry about now.
Right.
And if I had to pick myself up again, where they capture my ability to understand I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell people, don't let nobody capture your confidence, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because
for
you
sure.
cannot, it's hard to rebuild.
Yeah, it's tough.
And so when I got down in that place, I had to go back to my roots and say, this is what made me smarter. But here, see, if I just remember the process, then I would know what happened after that.
Yeah.
Because, boy, when they told me down like that, when I caught that case in the street and then that happened because consequently the money wasn't the same because they got me my hands tied up. And all of a sudden this fall victim to the circumstances changing. You don't think I'm smart enough to connect the dots. You want me to believe that somehow we fell out of love.
Yeah.
When I know damn well it's because I can't do the same things I done without putting my life on the line in a way where I leave my children. So I'm saying I make conscious decisions to say them little boys don't come see me in jail. My last time going to jail, them little boys was so young, they didn't remember. It's like I got to probably tell them, you know, daddy went to jail. They haven't came to a jailhouse or a jail phone. That would break my heart.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, if I just remember the process, when they threw everything they could at me, when I was talking about earlier, because that was rock bottom for me, not even the picking myself up from whatever love I've gave. But when I've been through things where I felt like it was the end or the bottom that I can be, where my confidence has been captured, where I felt like, yo, who are you now? They done said, you can't even hustle, bro. Your money running out. They got you pushing a forklift. What is happening? Who are you? Like, bro, that was an identity change. But if I remember the process after that and I got in them books, I became a monster. I shedded all that dumb street shit because it forced me to reevaluate and say, you ain't swift as you thought. You got caught hustling. That went left. This went left. What were you? That street shit had you in a trick bag. I went to reading. I went to listening to powerful things and just reading and watching CNN again for technique, though. Fuck what they saying, and I built the monster that they have to deal with today. Right? So sometimes shedding things, it's like, I don't know why I want to keep going back there for even that love when it's the big world. We operate in a very big world.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like that we make excuses to go and feel the level of comfort that we felt when things were easier for us and the work that was required for us to be successful at whatever it was we was doing. It's hard to be a street nigga, but once you good at it, it's easy.
It's easy.
Because all you got to do is just show up and allow the motherfuckers who trying to get up under you. Like I said, it's a lot of niggas getting taken advantage of by these big homies and these niggas and shit like that. So you have every excuse to be over there. So the fact that you making a conscientious decision every day to, even though you're struggling with the back and forth of it, you're still making a decision, not only knowing what you knew then, but knowing what you know now and what you could really do if you took it back over there. You know what it is now. So that right there is what it is that is the most important in regards to you moving all the way outside of being attached to it in the way that you are attached to it now, because those people who are in that space, if they love you the way that they supposed to love you, they don't want you to be a part
and
of it. And
they
I'm sure
don't love me like I think.
I mean, yeah, and it's just, yeah.
Again, like you said, I'm dealing with the I'm just comfortable there, you know. Cause as a man, though, we talking man shit. It costs a man something to build love. Love
yeah.
ain't free.
No, it's a very expensive. Hey man, it's
so
very
when we
expensive.
Go out and
I
say,
get
I
want
to find love again. As a man, I know how expensive that is. Yeah. And it's almost like I ain't willing to pay it. But I do myself a disservice, especially when I'm operating at this level, right? I'm saying to myself, yo, I don't want no relationship, but I don't even trust people at all, family. Like, I got zero trust, especially if when I deal with women, it's zero trust. Ain't no coming nowhere around me. Like, I'm going to meet you somewhere. You know, and this is, you know, this is just standard procedure.
Yeah, I was
this
about to say that.
This ain't out of bounds.
That don't sound like it's too.
What I'm saying is, when you operate in the real world, outside of the streets, and you see people more comfortable with things and people, like, move different than you, it's like, damn, man, it seemed like that's a nicer life to have.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to give yourself some grace, too, because you ain't that far removed from the space that you was in. You just happen to be very good at this new space to where you elevated quickly, so quickly that you thinking, nigga, you still got the street nigga mentality. Nigga, I done hustled up this nigga with a... You got to give yourself some grace in that regard, to give yourself some time to be able to program yourself, my nigga.
I'm glad we having this helping so many niggas watching. I'm
like, man, like you got to be able to reprogram yourself and give yourself some time to be able to do that personally.
Yeah.
Fuck everybody right. else on every capacity. Women, yeah. your homeboys, all
and
that.
You know that's my vibe though. Like you, if you see me here, this my time. I can have this motherfucker filled up. I'm popping. It could be a bunch of fake love in here right now.
But do you need that, though?
You don't see it. So evidently, I don't. Well, yeah. What I'm saying is, I got the ability to do that. So I'm conscious about I don't need nobody. But I understand that I'm maneuvered into a new spot to where I no longer have the tribe. And I got to build the new tribe. I got to curate the new tribe.
But what do you think it is that's constantly making you keep thinking about the
that's
fact
what I'm
that
saying.
You can do it?
I don't
that's
know.
That's the thing. The fact that you... saying, man, I can have this bitch jumping, and I know I can go do that. You got to stop
disconnect.
Thinking about that shit in that capacity.
Because
the more you thinking about it, the more it's you going to eventually find yourself surrounded by the thing that you trying to remove yourself from. It's inevitable. There's no way you can't do that because you didn't. It's just like me. Like, when I go home, I see people. Like, I had a situation... I saw a dude I went to high school with. Now, I thought this nigga was above it. Like, you know, it's certain niggas that you think they, you know, they might, you know what I mean? Everybody taking a risk of going to jail and getting killed out here. But it's certain shit that certain niggas, you just, man,
ain't going to succumb to that.
And I saw him, and that wasn't the case. He had totally, and I'm like, damn. And I couldn't even bring myself to stop and holler at him as much as I wanted to because I understand that I have removed myself completely from whatever you got going on. And I can't afford for it to walk up on you while I'm standing here hollering at you. I can't afford for that to be the case. I got to let you stand in your space and hopefully in this prayer I'm going to give you because it broke my heart, but I got to keep going. As much as I wanted to pull over and holler at him. I seen him. Nodding out in front of the carryout.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
A nigga that I thought this one was my man.
Yeah.
Like, this was a nigga I never, not that.
Yeah.
So whatever it is that he had going on, I understand what I have going on won't allow me to insert myself into it in the capacity that I wanted to and that was natural for me to do. Because who we were the last time we interacted, man, what's up with you, Slim, man? What you got going on? I know you ain't out here. Yeah. Nah, I'm not there no more. So what I can do out of love is get in contact with somebody who is close to him and still in that kind of that vicinity and help him that way.
Right.
And that's what I chose to do. I pulled another nigga that I know that from his neighborhood.
Right.
Hey, man, come holler at me, man. I got to talk to you so I can get the backstory of what I just saw. Right. Am I tripping? What's going on?
Yeah.
He gave me the backstory, man. Do this for him. Look out for him in this way. Tell him it came from me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you got to stay away.
But you got to, you can't insert yourself.
And for me, I think what I'm saying is, when I say I can have a bunch of people in here, what I'm saying is that I refuse to surround myself with fake love. Now, by consequence, because I've been wrong about it several times.
I was just about to say that.
It's made me say, fuck surrounding yourself.
With love.
With any love.
Yeah, I mean, right. So,
and I think that's what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, you got to be able to identify.
So what do you stand with relationships and shit like?
As far as what?
You in a relationship?
What, as far as an intimate relationship? No, I'm in a couple of them.
Okay.
I got multiple women that I deal with.
That's my vibe.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, I say that. And I'm very honest as well. Right. I don't do no lying.
Nah.
Ain't no games being played. Every woman that deals with me knows exactly what they dealing with. Like, the way I make it, long story short, I make the outside of my house ugly. I leave with all the shit that you gonna catch a nigga doing. I'm telling you up front, this is what I have going on. You're not going to be the only woman I deal with. You're not going to be the only woman I talk to. You're not going to be the only woman I have a relationship with.
Right.
So if you come over here, know that that's going to be the reality. Now, as far as the details of that, I usually don't even have to get into that because that eliminates majority
of the questions,
that come once you leave with that. But that's who I am, and that's how I operate. But what that does for me is that allows me to be able to surround myself with people who I can hold to the same standard that I hold myself to.
And be honest with.
And tell the truth to. Like, I always say one thing that I find very interesting about niggas when I had conversations, when we, you know, we about to go into something, a lot of people always interact with me about or ask me about because I've been so vocal about it and I live like this is really my life. I always find it funny that niggas can be a real nigga everywhere except for in their house. You a real nigga in the streets. You will do all this shit. But when you go home, you can't look at this woman that you say you supposed to be the king and the leader of and be who you really are, nigga.
You the tail in that.
I can't live like that.
Nah, but
like,
see, because what dudes are doing are acting.
Yeah, very like, good,
dudes
too.
Dudes are undiscovered actors, man. When they are out here, that's not a nigga taking care of no business. He just looked like it.
That costume.
That house tell you
what's really going on.
Yeah,
right.
That's where you get it from.
And for me, I've learned in me being this way with women and being forthcoming about who I am completely, that you learn the truth of who women are. Mm. See, most niggas don't know who these women really are.
Right.
But when you lead with the disarming the thing, because all of this shit is just disarming you. Because all of the things that you got bottled up and you think you're going to be able to sneak and can. Nah, that ain't happening over here. This is a whole nother program. Like, if you playing full court basketball, I'm letting you know I'm out here because I fuck with you. I love women, especially black women. So I'm over here.
Right.
But I'm over here on this side court with this tennis ball. So if you want to play full court, if you looking for a relationship,
do
your thing.
Yeah.
But don't come over here fucking with this unless you want to learn a new game. That's just what it is. And then having those types of conversations, you learn the things that most niggas don't know. And in my environment growing up, the game that I got about women came from women. Mm. A nigga ain't never gave me no game in regards to a woman that I could utilize in regards to my interaction with a woman. Niggas have gave me the game to how to handle being with a woman and the shit that you do in regards to getting them and keeping them and all of that. But the day-to-day interactions and the things that you gonna notice that a woman is doing to you, and again, like you said, them tricks and all of that, that's only going to come from a woman because they are ironclad. The difference between niggas and women is niggas get caught. Women get away with it. That's why you hear niggas ain't shit, niggas ain't shit, because niggas is constantly getting caught up because women are emotionally more developed and able to handle the bullshit and the stress that we give them way better than we are able to handle the stress. That they give us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Like,
facts.
You can fuck 50 women on your girl. You found out she gave a nigga a hug too long. You ready to kill everybody. So that's just the difference. When you think about somebody who can endure that much shit that you have agreed that you would never do to this person, what is she doing in that time to quell those emotions that you've given her?
What is she developing?
What is she developing into in those moments? That's what I've been able to be privy to now that I stopped being full of shit. Because I used to be full of shit like every other nigga, you know what I mean, as a younger nigga. But after a certain point in my life, at 23 years old, you know what I mean, I was like, you know what, I'm really on some sucker shit.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's a reality check. That's something that
really,
we gotta go
I'm
through.
Really on some sucker shit,
lying,
man.
Ollie, women,
yeah,
shit.
And pretending to be somebody to make them like me, and saying whatever I need to say to make you.
Yeah.
That's sucker shit.
Yeah.
And I ain't never been a sucker, and I ain't never been able to be around.
Yeah.
I ain't never been comfortable in that space. But when it comes to this female,
I
throw all that shit out the window.
That ain't straight.
Just to be able to say I got some pussy.
Yeah, that ain't straight. That is not straight, but we do that.
We do it.
We talking to young men right now.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah,
like, if you can help it, and you got to go through it. I understand it's tough.
You gonna go through it.
Because I've been through it. I've been the nigga that sometimes it's just you. It is what it is. But at this point in life, I'm not going to pretend to be anything ever. This is who I am. this is what comes with me.
What turned you into that?
Just being able to understand.
Because you didn't always be.
No,
like,
no, yeah. no. It was just one of those moments where I went through some shit, and it was a conversation I had.
Why is it blinking, man?
I think we might have got. I say I became that way from. It was really a conversation that I had with my mama. Mm. I had a conversation with my mother, man, and I don't even think I ever talked about this before, but I had a conversation with my mother about my father, and she never talked to me about who my father was. She talked to me about how my father was. Like, you act like your daddy, you look like your daddy, you lie like your daddy, but she never told me who he was as a man. And having this conversation with her, it was just spur of the moment. Like I said, I'm, you know, staying in North Carolina. I went home to visit, and I had just went through some shit and stopped dealing with a female based on some bullshit that I did, you know what I'm saying? And I'm having a conversation, and I asked my mom, I was like, Mom, did my daddy ever cheat on you? And she was like, cheat on me? She was like,
make sure you catch as much as you can just in case it's doing some funny shit.
She said, cheat on me? She was like, what made you ask me that? I'm like, I'm just wondering if you ever went through that with my father. She was like, oh, what you out here, nigga? You got your dick in the streets? This my mom. This is how she talked to me.
Yeah.
Like, what, you got your dick in the streets? I'm like, yeah, to an extent. But I just was wondering if, you know, because I don't know who my daddy. I don't know if I got something. I don't know if this nigga was a... You know, if he had that black snake moaning, I'm like, was this nigga a hound dog? Or who was he in that regard? Because I'm, at this point, I'm feeling like a sucker because I had got caught doing some shit that was some sucker shit. Mm. I'm bitching, caught me up lying about some sucker shit. And I just felt like, man, and that's the only person I can come to about it. So she was like, your daddy ain't never had to cheat on me. She's like, your daddy ain't never told me nothing but what it was. She was like, so that's the only, and that's why I feel like I ain't had nobody to ever meet that standard since then. Because everybody that came in contact with me then been full of shit. And I ain't a bitch that you can play with like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know
that
what?
That
changed my perspective.
Let you know
and
that.
And it gave me a little glimpse into, okay, my daddy was he was telling the truth. What does that even look like?
Right.
What does it feel like to look a woman in the face and be able to tell her some shit that'll make her turn around and walk away from me?
Yeah. And
be all right with it. I had no idea what that was.
There's a lot of niggas that'll say something to a woman, but is you all right with her saying,
I'm good, taking that L of you not getting whatever it is you...
Yeah.
I had no idea what that felt like. I didn't even know that that was something that could be done outside of the type of relationships that I saw my uncles have that was, you know, pimps. Mm.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.